Hi guys, welcome back to the podcast. I wonder if people still like the voice at the beginning. Yeah,
how long are you going to carry that on for?
Mate? I just feel like it's the thing now. We said I was going to change up the voice, but I feel like I don't have any others.
No, you've only got that one voice.
I've only got one. What else could I do?
Yeah, not got many talents, have we?
We should do accents, but we don't have many. So next week, people asking questions, someone ask me an accent to do and I'll try it.
Good idea. Yeah. Good idea. That's
right.
Fine.
Speaking of asking people things, or asking our audience. Yes. So the poll that I put on, do you like the would you rather / quickfire questions section of the pod? It got 14 votes, which is not ideal, is it? But
I don't think 14 is that bad considering Spotify listeners in comparison to YouTube.
Mate, we get quite a lot on Spotify. I had a look. Apparently we get an average of like 400 and something on Spotify.
Oh, that's quite cool. Episode. I didn't realise that. Yeah.
So that's a very small percentage that have voted. But either way, it doesn't matter. Thank you for those that did vote. We do appreciate it. 79% said yes.
Fair enough.
So I feel like full episode of Would You Rathers.
Oh, no.
No. Let's do... Have we got anything that we need to chat about before? And then we can do a few.
Hey, didn't we do this last week? And we was going, we don't need to do it every week. Because what we're going to do, Would You Rather, every week. Just Would You Rather, you know...
Would you rather do Would You Rather or not?
Yeah, would you rather? No, I wouldn't.
You know what? I preferred the quickfire questions than Would You Rather.
Okay, sound. Get up a quickfire question while I chat. Is there anything to report about me? How has life been?
64 rapid questions. Is this the one that we did?
Send it through, please, mate.
Nah, because it's a bit shit, I think. Okay, random. Right, all right, I'm going to send this over. My week has been good. Thank you. Obviously, I'm dieting. Did I speak about the fact I'm dieting? I must have done that.
We did, but only for a few minutes, like literally a very short amount of time. Yeah. You're dieting.
So I'm dieting.
Pre-prep.
Yeah, I'm doing a pre-prep diet. So I am aiming to do about 12 weeks. Hopefully no longer than that. Shouldn't have to be any longer than that. 12 weeks. I will finish like end of September time. Then I will be going back into a surplus from October until around April time, and then I'll be starting prep for next year. But I'll be starting prep, obviously not at 232 pounds. I'm looking to pull off about 40 pounds from peak off season, so that'll get me down to 192-ish. So basically, I want to get like between 190, maybe mid-190s, 190 to 200 pounds. I was 223 this morning. Today's a rest day, so... I imagine I'll be a bit lighter tomorrow because food is pretty low on rest days at the minute. But yeah, like I feel good. I'm enjoying it so far. Like it's nice to, my work efficiency is a lot better because my meals aren't taking me like half an hour plus to eat. That was I got a question on that was it last Sunday that I did like a Q&A on Instagram. And it was like, it was Macca. He asked what was the main thing I struggled with in off season. And I was like, I didn't struggle with getting the food in itself, it was more so the time. It's like so time consuming. Obviously you can do bits and bobs with work, like you can be on your phone, but I can't do check-ins properly while I'm eating because I'm eating, like, so yeah, it's more so that
actually making the food,
yeah, like, it is quicker now, yeah. But it's more so the actual time of eating it is like been massively reduced, so that's nice. And yeah, I feel good. Like I do feel like my sleep's a little bit better, like all the sort of generic sort of initial dieting positives that you notice, I've noticed so far. But yeah, like I look horrendous. Like I look awful. Honestly, mate.
Hey, I haven't seen you pose since you started.
I'm not going to pose until I'm probably at least like maybe 210 or less. And that's not me. Like, don't get me wrong. I would pose. Like, I'm not. I know. I'm very realistic with where I'm.
You working in the shadows? Is that why?
I'm not working in the shadows. I just look so flat, but I'm still fat that it's not beneficial to look at myself because I just go, oh, I look like shit. And then it's like, oh, that's annoying. What benefit is that going to have? Like, so
motivation to train harder because you want to not look shit.
Because I know that I'm not exposing myself to the horrendous sight of my physique. So that's where I'm at. What about you, mate? You're shredded, aren't you? Apart from your fat back.
Yeah, my front and my legs are actually pretty lean, all things considered. So I go on holiday on the 1st of August, which is quite like, it works out well, because that'll be like the end of this tidy up, which is nice, which wasn't really planned, but I knew I'd be going away sometime in August and I knew I'd have to do a tidy up. I was 109 kilos on the dot this morning, which is 14 kilos up from stage weight. And I wouldn't have 14 more kilos to lose if I was to step on stage again. I'd have 20. I've actually regressed. I've lost muscle and gained body fat.
I've decomped, guys.
But no, I'm looking quite happy with how I'm looking, to be fair. I'm at that point now where like every like pound, every half a kilo, etc., comes off, and I'm like, okay, cool. I can tell some things are changing. I'm about 15 kilos down from peak. I'm 9 kilos down from when I started the tidy up, which was about 4.5 weeks ago, if I'm not mistaken. So it's been relatively aggressive. Like, I didn't have the initial big drop that most people have, because I was already down from peak body weight, because I went on holiday, I had surgery, so food was pretty much non-training day, so I didn't have like a big chunk. So I had somewhat of a maintenance phase prior, so it was like I didn't have that chunk, so I was so primed and so fresh to get after this, and therefore that's why I had that maintenance phase. I'm just so good now, I'm in such a good spot. But no, in all seriousness, feel really good. Food's a lot. I dropped food on Wednesday, so yesterday, on training days, and I was actually hungry for the first time yesterday. Literally, I think like 260 carb now on training days, which is like the lowest it's been other than prep last year on training days, like for the longest time I can remember. And then non-training days is like 150 carb, 50 fat, and then 250 protein. Cardio 6 times per week, so I've upped cardio. So my expenditure's high. I'm not eating a lot of food, but I still feel good. Still, I feel a little bit more, like I've said the last couple of sessions, like I said on Monday, didn't I? I was like, I can feel like I'm in a deficit, but like in the session, I actually feel a little bit tired. My body doesn't feel as snappy. But performance is still good, feel good. Everything's in a good spot. So another 2.5 weeks. If I can pull off another 3 to 4 kilos, I don't need to get any lower than 105. But I'd like to be in the 105s, 106s. That'd be a real good point where I'll be pretty much spot on from a condition standpoint that I would be happy with. I said yesterday, I don't need to be much leaner than I am now. Like, I'm quite lean from the front. My back's fat, but at the end of the day, I've got a holiday in 2 weeks. So I'm like, right, I'll pull up a little bit more. It gives me a bit of a better platform to then push up from. And if I can get back to 120 kilos in better condition, that'll be really good. Because ideally, I want to be about probably 101, 202 on stage next year. But I don't want to really even set a bodyweight goal. I couldn't give a fuck. It depends on the look. So, yeah. Any opinions from yourself, mate? You know, because I'm shredded now. Bar my back.
No opinions, mate, other than we knew anyway, or at least we learned in prep that you store a shit ton more on your back. But it's all you know, it's all a learning curve. It's all good sort of data points and feedback that we're going to have for what, start of next year. So you're going to start prep on January 1st?
It depends on the shows, mate. It'll be January 1st. It
depends on the fact that you're going to have a New Year's resolution of getting a pro car.
Imagine New Year's with me. Did you see? Oh, I didn't even announce. I'm now sponsored by CSN as well.
Cool. You can't say that. You can't say that because I'm sponsored by someone else, and it was my podcast.
It's a cross transfer of. It's a what would it be? It's a conflict of interest.
It is a conflict of interest.
Yeah, fair enough. So
they do sound the same. CSN, CMP.
I actually, no, mate. I got a message today from a client. Well done on the CNS sponsorship.
On the central nervous system.
Central nervous system sponsorship, aka CMP and CSN combined. So, yeah, just three letters, both begin with a C. Spot on. We're basically sponsored by the same guys. Yeah, that was announced yesterday. However, it had been like the last month. I was like, right, what's happening? So that was good to see that go through, which is cool. So CSN Athlete, they said at the bottom, one of the best like physiques in the country for men's physique.
Yeah, I guess
definitely have to specify. Definitely have to specify men's physique, and they said like supporting him for his pro card next year. So if I fucking don't get it, they're going to sack me after the first show.
The contract. You don't get your pro card, you're sacked.
Yeah, exactly. And then you have to pay all the supplements we've given you and all the benefits.
You should give us all the money.
They start billing you everything. You're like, fucking hell. How many perform ways have I bought? Like, what has been said? Jesus Christ. So yeah, right. So that's that. Otherwise, life is good. Right, mate. There's like deep rapid fire questions. Do you want to go to deep? Or do you want to... There's sections. It's quite cool.
Should we go deep?
Save this website because this is cool.
I don't know how to save a website.
Well, just make sure to keep it in the chat, which we will do. Yeah, let's go to deep, because deep is, you know, it's never a bad thing. Like, I really want to be deep with you right now.
I thought we could do random rapid fire questions.
Okay, I'm going deep. I choose deep.
I don't want to be the only one that's... I don't want to be giving and you're taking me being deep.
No, but I don't want you to be so random.
Sacrifice this.
Okay, let's meet in the middle.
Nah, let's do deep.
Okay, deep.
Oh, no chance, because the first one is, what do you think the meaning of life is? That's not a rapid fire question.
Whose death hit you the hardest? You know? Things like that. Yeah. Like,
no, I just end up crying. Let's do random. We'll do deep on another day.
Okay. Oh, mate, what stranger do you still think about sometimes? God, that's weird. Stranger. What stranger? Yeah, what stranger? Like, oh, that guy at the gym. God, he looks so good.
Right, come on.
But what? Where is
Random ones are the second.
Okay, we're doing two each.
No, we'll just go bang, 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 bang. I'll go first. I'll ask you first.
Okay.
What has been your favourite age so far?
Oh, I don't know, 18, 19? Now I'm living my best life now, bro. But I liked the less responsibility and, like, you know, 2018 World Cup summer. Granted, my mum almost died, which was wicked. But other than that, my mum almost died. I had two holidays. World Cup was on. I had no responsibilities. I trained whenever I wanted. I just kind of, like, dossed around, wrote a few training programs for a few people. And life was wicked. I had no responsibility. So that was good. But I'd say now, if I was to choose any time to live, I'd be choosing my life now.
Yeah. I know what you mean. It's one of those, isn't it? It's always that nostalgic feeling, yeah, of like remembering memories from, you know, summer, you know, let's say 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Like, I remember there was a summer when my mate, the guy who got married the other day, he passed his driving test and he had like a really old classic Mini. And it was just a two-seater and it was like a proper mint car. And like all summer we just drove about in it. Like he just drove us places, like not really going anywhere, just driving about. And then, oh, we'll go grab some food, drive about, play some footy. Like that, like thinking back to that, that was mint. I don't even know. I think it was probably 17, 18. Well, yeah, I'd have been like 17, 18, 17 I'd have been. So yeah, that was good. But I'm the same as you. Like I wouldn't want to change anything. I wouldn't want to say, oh, that was so much better than my life is now, because it wasn't. And I'd still be working. I was working at Next then, because that was my year out. But you do have good memories. Yeah.
Yeah. What's your go-to lazy dinner?
What's a lazy dinner mean?
Like takeaway. Takeaway. Domino's.
Pizza. Yeah. Domino's.
Yeah.
What is your favourite thing to do in the summertime? You're getting
yours would be go around giving hand jobs to your best mate driving his car around. Going, oh, yeah.
Giving out some male relief.
Yeah, there was some male relief in the car. Yeah, what's your favourite thing to do in the summertime? What'd you say? Sorry?
You're getting all the good questions.
Yeah, I actually, to be fair, it's boring, but I told you on Sunday when Sanaa had a posing thing in Leeds, I trained, did my cardio, and then I had three check-ins. I just sat out on a hill, like, and then after the check-ins were done, literally put on some music, just lie back and sunbathed, and I felt well good afterwards. I was like, oh, that's nice. Like, yeah, like an endorphin rush. And I was like, that's lovely. I got in the car and I was in a proper good mood. And I was like, it's nice. So yeah, I'd say sunbathe, and I don't do it enough. I should. If it's sunny, I should go and sit outside. Or
just having the time. And that's what we did. Me and Shannon did that on Sunday. It was nice.
Yeah, no, I bet. How often do you floss?
What, the dance move?
Floss, oh yeah, mate. They put that in Fortnite.
Consistently.
Yeah, constantly.
I'm doing it under the table. I don't. I only do if I've got something in my teeth. Great question. Can we change round? I've got all the shit ones.
No, I thought that. What's your nickname? Porky Moo.
Yeah, what's one of your nicknames? Porky Moo. We already know that. Mine's Skinny.
What's yours? Skinny. Fat Bastard.
No, it's Skinny.
Fair enough. Yeah. Surprised. What was your major in college? So that's your best qualification, bro. BSc, Sports Nutrition Science.
Major means what was my degree?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was sports science with management is actually what it was.
Wow, management, bro.
I'm such a manager. That's why I'm like Pep Guardiola at coaching. Because I did end up having to do I obviously chose the course, but I did like things like strategy and accounting and things like that on my degree. yeah, it was, I've obviously spoke about it before. I didn't enjoy it, but it is what it is. And I completed it, mate. What is the stupidest dare you ever agreed to?
First one that pops up is, I've shown you the video. I should probably show the podcast this because it's quite funny, but it's really bad because it would have fucking scared somebody. It would have hurt someone. I was in France and the girl that I was with said, a day to kick the ball off the, like it was the last night we had a, like a football. And she was like, a day to kick the ball off the like top floor apartment and try and get it onto the beach. So, and I, mate, I've booted it and it hit somebody right at the bottom, like it bounced on someone. So I imagine you're not just walking down. I'm not showing you it, mate. I'll try and get it.
Could have killed someone.
Oh, I know. And I just said, yeah, no, because it was nighttime, or it was, and I was just like,
right. Oh, yeah. If it was nighttime, then it would have been immune.
Yeah, no. It was nighttime. Well, there wasn't that many people. So I just kind of literally, mate, like wrapped my foot around it. We're talking like prime Edwin van der Sar.
I've now seen you kick a ball.
Mate, I connected with it stupidly well. And then it bounces, and it literally like bounces off somebody. So imagine just going for a nice walk along the coast in France, and then a ball just gets twatted off you. I was like, it was hilarious. But in the moment, I was like, that's so funny. And I look back and think, that could have really hurt somebody.
Yeah.
Like, and because it was a top floor apartment, I just thought, fuck it, we'll try. That's what would come to me off the top of my head. I think I've got it, mate, to be fair. It's around here. Yeah, here it is. Let's hope it loads. Here we go. No, mate, then look, if you zoom in right at the bottom, you won't be able to see with it.
It's not as high as I thought it'd be.
Yeah, I think the video probably doesn't look that high because we were like literally, I think like 40 stores up or whatever. But yeah, the ball lands and like where that is there, if I show this and do this. Sorry to all the audio listeners, but the ball, you can't see. Yeah, it's annoying. But basically, the ball hits that, bounces and then hits that person. And
that hit him after it bounced. Yeah, that's all
right. It like bounced into somebody and then sprung off the other way. And I was annoyed because I didn't get it onto the beach. So yeah, I fucked it.
Yeah, it wasn't as good a connection as you said it was.
And mate, hear it. You ready? Is there sound on this? Yeah, listen to this.
Yeah. Barely it. What did you say then?
Fucking hell. Because I connected with it well. Really well. So yeah, that's probably the stupidest dare, but I've probably done worse things. What about you? Any stupid dares?
I don't think so. I've told
you. Jamaica test Monday, dare you to do it, bro.
I told you that story, didn't I, about knocking on the teacher's door and running off.
Yeah.
But I didn't actually do that. It was like my mates, but we all did it, but it wasn't like anybody dared anyone to do it.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever done a dare, like, or at least anything like silly, like, or serious, because I was always that kid who was like, you can dare me what the fuck you want. I don't give a shit. I'm not going to do it. It's like on the podcast now. You ask me any question, I don't give a fuck. I'm not going to answer your questions.
Okay.
So I'm such a shit podcast host.
What item is worth spending more money on? Oh, so is that something that's undervalued? Like, I would spend more money on this?
Yeah. FK Physique coaching.
Yeah, good answer that, mate. That's actually a really good answer. That's clever from you, mate. I didn't expect that.
Cheers, mate.
Hold on.
Thanks. Is your bed made right now? It is, but it only is on the podcast, and Sanaya told me that. Sanaya messaged me last week saying the only time he does his bed is when the podcast's on.
Yeah, of course.
I don't think our bed is. But Shannon gets out of bed after me, so it's whatever she does with it.
No, wait, you don't wake up at 4 a.m.
There's usually another lad in there with her, actually. After
it makes sense. So you don't tuck him in. You wake up, cold shower, and then you have to make your bed. That's what a CEO... I watched like How to Be a CEO Millionaire on YouTube.
I'm like halfway there. I get up, I do my cardio, then I have a hot shower because I just can't bottle a cold shower.
Yeah.
And then I actually go back to bed for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And then I just sit and twiddle my thumbs for the rest of the day. But because I got up early, I feel really productive.
Yeah, that's wicked, mate. If you could afford any car, which one would you drive?
Probably like a black BM M2.
Oh, really? That's nice. Yeah, that's a nice car, that. Really? Like, what would you, I know you're the least car focused ever individual, but what would you have if you could just pick a car? What would you want?
I honestly wouldn't know. I'd have to look at cars and go, oh, that one looks nice. Like, I'm not, like I say, I've not like ever been that into cars. Is it like a Bugatti Veyron's a nice car, isn't it? I used to think that. I remember watching Top Gear, and that was the fastest car. So that's cool. I quite like my dad's always had like Audis or like nice Mercedes growing up. Like, so I quite like those cars. I quite like a decent size. Like, I wouldn't want a Range Rover, I don't think. But that's just because I don't like the perception of a Range Rover. You know what I mean? How it's like, oh, if you've got money, you buy a Range Rover. That's what people do. I'd quite like a big Audi. What are they called? Is it a Q7?
Yeah, the 4x4 one.
But I'm not like, oh, I'd love that. Like, it's like, oh, that's quite a nice car. I really couldn't say. I'm not that arsed about, like I say, I live for luxury. That's why I've got my Insignia. But like, I'm really not arsed about like having a fast car. It just doesn't, it's never been like a big thing for me. No. I'm sure in the future, once me and Shannon get a house, like my next thing will be like, oh, cool, I'll get a nice car. Like, probably anyway. Or I'll actually probably look at investing into like us maybe getting a little gym. If it looks really dark, it's because Pete's filming me, guys, and he's blocking the light. Don't worry, it doesn't matter, Pete. That sounded like I was being a dickhead. I'm not. You can block the light if you want. for everybody, Pete's filming. So, make sure you watch the YouTube video. This is a day in the life as a coach.
No, this is the Once You're In Your Own podcast.
No, the YouTube video is that. I know what.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, but this, mate, this isn't. Come on, get it right. Let's see. I think was it me? Do I do a few more? Do I do like two or three more?
Yeah. Have you ever written a song for someone?
No.
Yeah, right. That's not what Sanaya says.
Oh, yeah. But I sing so many songs to her.
You beg her not to break up with you every night.
Yeah, please don't leave. Please don't leave. what is the last craft you made? What's your last transformation? That's what it is. Oh, I had a sick transformation with client Tom.
Last craft I made? Probably, and this is like maybe two or three Christmases ago, because we had Christmas at my sister's house, she got us all to make our own snowmen out of like white socks, and she showed us all how to do it and was like, oh yeah, you can make this and it's like an ornament. So me and Shannon did that. So probably 2-3 years ago was my last craft. What was your last craft, mate?
Honestly, can't remember.
You can't read all right, can you? So you've no chance you're making any crafts.
Oh no, mate. My hands are useless. You know, they're just accessories at this point.
They're just accessories for pulling and pushing movements.
Yeah, exactly.
You give your hands as hooks, as we tell our clients.
yeah, literally. What is one thing you regret spending money on? Good question.
Uni.
Yeah.
Simple answer.
Yeah.
And I don't, again, we always say, like, we don't live with regrets, but I do kind of wish that I'd not spent that amount of money on a degree that I didn't really need to be where I am.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
I do agree.
Is it your car? Because you're struggling.
Yeah, the insurance of the fucking car. Agreeing, putting down a deposit without realising how much the insurance would be.
Yeah, that was not the smartest move.
Well, no, because I'd already done the insurance on what I knew it would be or thought it would be until it turned out it was over double. And I was like, ah, sick. Can really afford this. It wouldn't be the car. Regret money, maybe uni. I enjoy uni,
because it's such a big investment.
It's a massive investment.
Don't want to say, but not a little for little gain, because a lot of people gain a lot from it, but I don't feel like we did really.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm trying to think off the top of my head what else I like bought that I was like, this is fucking pointless, why did I buy this? But I've always been quite like, I never rushed into decisions. I've always been relatively mature with like my own cash, so like I've never just thought, oh, I have a grand, I'm gonna buy this. Like, I remember I wanted an Apple Watch for about 3 months and I was like, right, am I actually gonna want this? And admittedly, I haven't got it on, so maybe it was a waste of money. But when I prepped last year, I used it. And when I diet, I use it for my cardio. So I do use it. But like, I didn't rush into an Apple Watch because I knew it would potentially be a bit of a gimmick. And I was like, right, if I still want one in a month or two, I'll get one. And I did. And it was a bit of a treat for me finishing uni. That's what I did. So yeah, it was like, right, I finished uni, buy myself an Apple Watch, straight into prep. And that was it. We'll do a few more. It's your one, isn't it?
What movie do you enjoy quoting the most?
I don't really know any.
See, this would be a good one.
TV shows. Yeah, I watch TV shows. So I'm trying to think off the top of my head if there's a TV show, Wire. Yeah. Even if I miss, I can't miss.
Yeah, that's what you said. Yeah. Then you missed. Like you missed twice, didn't you? Yeah.
Yeah, at least I actually hit one, so you just missed. And then
I just missed completely. Big swing and a miss.
Swing and a miss. What's your favourite quote, mate? Come on.
I quote Anchorman all the time.
First one or second one?
Usually the first one. Yeah. Step Brothers and Dodgeball, probably the three, because they're just films that I watched loads when I was younger.
But mate, like, you have to say what you quote. You can't just say the film.
What movie do you enjoy quoting the most?
No, but what sayings do you quote? Do you know any of the quotes?
I know loads of the quotes, but I'm not going to just randomly quote them all now.
Yeah, because you don't know them. So what kind of quotes? Come on, you went through it. Good question, I know this. What quote?
Right. I'll quote, it's the pancake breakfast. We do it every month. That doesn't make any sense now, does it? But I'll quote it from Anchorman, the first one. Okay. Or I'll quote, because it's sterile and I like the taste. Which, again, means nothing to you right now. But people who like Dodgeball will know what it means. So don't fucking question me. All right, this is my podcast. I could not kick you out right now and get Pete instead.
Yeah.
Know your place.
Okay, fair enough.
Right, mate.
I'll back down.
We've got 3 minutes left of part one. So we'll do a couple more and then we'll do questions in part two, yeah?
Yeah. Is it my one to you?
Yeah.
If you could be transformed into one animal, which one would you choose?
Can we include humans as animals? I'd transform into Ronnie Coleman.
Ronnie Coleman is a fucking animal.
No, I would probably say a rhino. I'm sure we've said this before. Like, if you had to choose an animal to be, I'd choose a rhino because they're jacked, aren't they?
About an eagle. Top of the food chain, fly around.
Yeah.
Got a cool, like, ca-caw! Noise.
Is an eagle the top of the food chain, though? I feel like a lion would absolutely annihilate an eagle.
Yeah, but mate, an eagle ain't getting done by a lion. That's just going to fly away and be like,
yeah.
No.
Maybe a massive whale. Could be a huge whale and scare people in the ocean, or a big shark. I'll be a great white shark and scare people, but not do anything.
I just go, ah! Ah!
I've got you. My teeth.
Fair enough. Good one, mate.
Have you ever gone viral online? Yeah, you have.
Yeah, I'm really fit.
I am viral. Come on.
Yeah, I am. I'm constantly viral. Everyone knows me. Of course. Right. What dish do you cook best?
Cream of rice.
Same.
Fuck off, mate. No, to be fair, like back in the day, what did I used to cook? I used to make cheesecake when I did food tech at school. I used to like cooking pasta bake back in the day. You ever have pasta bake?
Nope.
No.
No. What is it? Is it baked pasta?
Pretty much. You like put loads of pasta in like a baking tray and then put like sauce and cheese and stuff on it. That's pasta bake for you, mate. Simple as that. Shout out to those that love pasta bake. Yeah, I can't really think of what else I cook. Like now, I'd literally just cook my eggs in the morning. My chicken's quite nice that I do in the air fryer. My rice, I cook my rice really well with my rice cooker.
Wow.
You don't do any of your cooking, do you? So neither does all.
Yeah. Such an informative ending to part one.
Nah,
thanks, guys.
Get one more in.
I'll get one more.
What story do you tell most often?
Deadlifted 300 kilos for two. I've done a heavier set before. When someone says, that's a strong weight.
Yeah, every time someone compliments Reese's set, he goes, oh, I actually just did a heavier set.
No, I didn't. I said it like once or twice when someone was like, that's ridiculous load. I was like, mate, I did like a set heavier 2 minutes ago that you looked at and now you decided to say it to me. Yeah. Come on. I don't really know. I don't really say many stories over and over again. I don't really, because I only really talk to you. So they're not really like, you just say, mate, you told me this before.
It's always like, time, please stop.
Yeah, please. I know this story. You know, have you got
you
some major...
You say that everybody's linked with Liverpool.
They actually are.
Linked with Liverpool.
Yeah, they actually are. Right, cool. We'll catch you guys in the second part. We'll go through some Q&As. No, some questions from listeners.
Right, let's get into the questions. We do have some from last week still, so I'm just getting mine up. Have you got yours ready?
I think so, yeah. I've got a few from last week, from the listener questions.
Go on then.
Perfect timing. Let's have a look. Right, so I don't know, again, I always get confused with this because I never know how to, like, if we answered these. Advice for somebody, I don't think we answered this. Advice for someone who has lost the enjoyment of training. Bit of a sad question, a deep question. They've gone onto that website and gone deep question.
Yeah. I think a lot of the time that can be down to fatigue. Like, you're going to lose your enjoyment, like your immediate enjoyment, you're going to lose that a lot when you're just trashed. So take a few days off. See it as a little bit of a break, see it as a little bit of a reset, and then get back into the swing of things, see how you feel. That is what I'd always recommend, first of all. And then also maybe just a slight change of focus. So let's say, you know, you're feeling like you're really fed up with a certain, let's say, setup or certain split, mesocycle, whatever it may be. You could potentially have a slightly varied focus and think, right, let's have a sort of more sort of prioritized meso on this body part or these body parts, give you a little bit more to focus on. Let's maybe focus on improving your cardiovascular health a little bit more at the minute, yeah, and do a little bit more cardio. Or let's just step away from bodybuilding, yeah. Like, you know, maybe potentially go into a fat loss phase, because sometimes it can be a case where people push and push and push in off season and get a little bit unhappy about it and get a little bit fed up. And often, you know, that alongside appetite, they would generally be the two main reasons that people will actually stop a gaining phase, is because they're not enjoying it anymore, they're not liking how they look, and or the appetite is in the bin. So yeah, there's a few things there, but I'd also say, like, enjoyment is a massive aspect of it, obviously. You know, you want to enjoy it, you want to enjoy every day, but you're also going to have times that you just don't enjoy it as much, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like, imagine in a contest prep, you're not going to love it towards the end, it's fucking horrible. Yeah, that's part of it. Yeah, likewise in a gaining phase, you're probably not going to love it when you're eating a lot of food all the time, but, you know, again, that's part of growing. Like, you know, it's part of pushing yourself to the extreme, and a lot of people don't like it and maybe can't handle it to the extremes at times, but bodybuilding is an extreme sport. You know, you've got to understand that as much as enjoyment is key, like, I don't want to say, oh, it's not important. Of course it's important, because you're not going to progress very well if you hate what you're doing every day. But also, you're going to have to understand that might be times of things that you might not enjoy. Yeah, I have clients doing some exercises that they're like, oh, I really hate this, but I know that it's working. I know that it's productive, but it's just really hard. It's like, you know, yeah, you're going to hate hard work a lot of the time. It's fucking difficult. That's why it's hard work. But yeah, you've almost got to see that as, try and twist it and see it almost more of a bit of a positive. And I had a client today who was saying he's struggling a little bit with his diet, sort of starting to feel like he's, you know, basically just feeling a bit fatigued from dieting. And I was like, right, cool, we'll have a deload. But I said, also just try and think of the positive in that a lot of people can't do this. A lot of people struggle. A lot of people will just throw the towel in. Like, so actually try and see it as a positive that you are doing it and you're cracking on and you're going to complete it, kind of thing. Try and sort of almost gain some motivation, some enjoyment from that.
No, I literally, man, I said the exact same, like, word for word, bar for bar, couple, like, just line for line this morning. You copied everything, mate. You copied my entire flow. Soldier Boy 2016, that's a video that he said, something like that. But yeah, basically, mate, like, literally, I had the same. I gave a client a new trainer, Mezzo, who he didn't need one. Like, he'd done it for, like, 26 weeks, but it was just getting a bit sloppy. I could tell, like, exercise progression stalled, not directly off, let's say, just in maxing things out. I could just tell he was a bit, his check-ins would be like, yeah, training's fine. And I was like, mate, come on, let's have a bit something different. I made a few changes, and he was like, oh, mate, training's been really enjoyable, progressed on everything, like, and he was like, I'm really enjoying it. And I said to him, that's why, like, not all the time it's going to be optimal, but you have to understand that, like, the application kind of goes alongside the enjoyment for a lot of individuals, especially lifestyle individuals. So to apply yourself to the best of your ability, having some enjoyment there is going to be key. But I also said the exact same regarding exercises, and, like, let's say when it comes to where you are in a diet or a fat loss phase, gaining phase, whatever, like, you're going to have positions where you don't enjoy it, but you almost have to find that balance. So yeah, we didn't give a sarcastic answer, Dylan, because I'm surprised Finn didn't just say, just stop training. Don't enjoy it, stop training. But it's a sad question, because, like, I bet there's a part of him that really wants to train, and he's like, this is what I want to do. So and then there's a part of him that's like, I'm not even enjoying this. So yeah, some variance is what I'd say. Take a bit of time off. Understand that you're not always going to enjoy it. And Finn pretty much answered everything else. So yeah, good answer, mate. If I can, I'll ask my other one, because I've got one more from last week. And it was from Dalton Smith Bodybuilding. He's asked us a few questions. We're on a PCA show in America. How about a rate your physique segment like bro chat? 5'8", 23, 215 pounds currently. I feel like we could do that. Do you want to do like a, do you want to do a, like, 1 week we do like a rate, like we rate the podcast physiques.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll do that as a separate episode, I reckon. Yeah. Rather than just doing like one every night.
Yeah.
We could do our normal chat a bit of shit in the morning part of the podcast.
Morning part, yeah.
And then we could definitely do that. We'll put out like a questions box, or we'll put out like a story.
We're rating physiques, or like assessing physiques.
Yeah, because it's literally terminology, but I'd rather say like assessing physiques, because I don't want to be like, oh yeah, your physiques are 4. That's not productive. Like, instead we'll say, right, this is where you're weaker, this is where you're stronger, this is what you could do to improve. Yeah. Not, you're a 10. Yeah. Should we rate girls as well?
Oh yeah, no, I can't. Got a girlfriend, mate.
We both have, right. I've got loads still from last week, so let's crack on.
Go ahead then, mate.
Right, to tender.
Get them asked.
It's from to tender. Thought process on intensifiers, e.g. exercise selection, rep range. What are your goals for that set?
So it depends on the individual. They're not needed. You can get a lot of out of just a top set, back off set, off 3 sets, off 4 sets, etc. Intensifiers, I like to kind of utilize them as positions to get a little bit more out of a specific exercise within like a certain amount of time allocated to that kind of exercise, or potentially just that kind of time spent, let's say, in that moment of fatiguing the actual muscle group that we're trying to train. I like all intensifiers have a purpose. I think they're going to be in line with recovery capabilities. So for example, if you're in a competition prep, lateral end, there should be pretty much none, or very close to none. I think in a gaining phase, when you're fatter, obviously, yeah, you can most likely handle a little bit more. And it's literally just to kind of push up the demands of what you're actually doing within that exercise. So rest pauses, drop sets, cluster sets, like just something to kind of create a bit more of a metabolic challenge. And like I said, in that intra-set moment, like a little bit more challenge. I like the idea of them, but it's not where you have to do them. I like them if it's like the last movement of a body part. Let's say it's the end of the session, doing a bit of arms. Okay, cool. I might do a few straight sets and then may follow up with a few drop sets, or potentially maybe a rest pause, or maybe a muscle round cluster set, etc. But I wouldn't be doing them right at the start. Like my first press, I'm not going to be doing a triple rest pause on my first press of the session, because after that, my pressing musculature is going to be smoked. So it's almost about where to place them in the session. They don't want to be invasive towards other exercises, unless obviously it's good. No, it wouldn't even want to be invasive at all, really. And I think there's a lot of application to them, but I think the vast majority of individuals can overthink and put too many in, and you don't need them. So they're not essential, but they can be beneficial to utilize as tools.
Yeah. The only reason I would have a decent amount in is when people like generally stuck for time. So if people have got time constraints where they can only train like 45 minutes to an hour, something like that, I'll utilize them quite a lot. But otherwise, you know, like you say, towards the end of sessions, maybe here and there, just add a little bit more volume without it being too time consuming. But yeah, good answer, mate. Next one is JP MVMT, which is Jack, my client, the guy that you messaged me saying he looks good. So shout out to Jack. Importance of things outside bodybuilding for success in bodybuilding. He's put in brackets prep and bulk, and he's put job, relationships, routine.
Yeah, it's good. I'd say that would all boil down to structure outside of what you're doing within bodybuilding. Like say, if you were to look at your ability to bodybuild, your work, relationships, etc. I'm not going to say should all be set up, because unfortunately, not everybody can do that. But having the structure is going to be key elsewhere, like other than just directly going to the gym. So knowing what times you're going to eat, knowing what times you're going to prep your meals, knowing what times you're spending with a loved one, etc. Things like this that, again, it can sound like you're being picky, but the likelihood of that's not in line, missing a meal, missing steps, sleeping horrendously, getting to the gym at different times every day. Again, these things are going to happen for the vast, vast, vast majority of individuals, which is unfortunate if you are trying to be as optimal as possible. But it is kind of one of those situations where structure outside is probably the one thing that is so, so important.
Yeah, it's like, obviously we'll say it all the time, like structure and routine, I say this to my clients all the time, are probably the two most important things to actually succeed in bodybuilding or physique development. That's not to say that you shouldn't have hobbies or anything outside of bodybuilding. It's how you actually structure your life around the bodybuilding side of things. So like for us, like for example, on a Sunday, like I know obviously we both work, and I know you have like a little bit more work on a Sunday, but like on a Sunday, like say on a Sunday afternoon in, or in the, on a Sunday evening, like if you and Sanaya want to do something, you know that you can do it, but you're not going to do it on a Tuesday at 3 p.m. because you know you're training legs. Yeah. So it's just knowing what your routine is and working around that. And, you know, I've had a job, I've had multiple jobs in the past where I had to still train around them. Like I've not always been in a position where I can train when I want to train. Like, you know, it is more difficult, obviously, but it's definitely manageable. You just have to work around it and go, right, okay, I work, let's say 6 a.m. till 2 p.m. So ideally, I don't want to get up earlier than 3 and train. So I'm going to just train after work. I'll train straight from work. Like, so it's just sort of structuring everything around it. And yeah, like it is obviously important, but I wouldn't say like, oh, somebody who's, let's say, got a job where they can train whenever they want versus somebody who has to train around work is going to make so much more progress because they could still have a horrendous routine. Yeah. So if you've got a better routine, even though, and I say this as well to people, I say like people have got different sort of scenarios, but it's how you manage that scenario. So like you could have a really, really stressful scenario and be managing it perfectly. So you're not really stressed. Yeah. Whereas you could have somebody who's not really got that much of a stressful environment or scenario, but they're managing it horrendously and they're really stressed. So it's not about just what your environment or your scenario is. It's about how you actually manage it.
Yeah. That last point's a good one. I have some clients that'll be like, mate, my stress is so high. They'll tell me and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like,
you just have to sort of explain it's how you manage it. Yeah.
No, I would love this kind of stress. This is fantastic.
I have some clients who check in and like, I'm like, how are you not stressed out? Like,
they'll tell
me what their life's like. And I'm like, how you're doing amazingly not stressing out. And I'll have some who stress out and I'm like, I don't like say, well, this person, like, but I'll say, look, like your situation could be a lot more stressful. This is what you need to work on. Yeah. Right. Bertolini. He said, you're going to have to change the name as I'll be little Bertolini next to you two in a few weeks time. It's not a few weeks.
Is big Bertolini saying that he's big Bertolini on his own? Fair enough, mate.
On his own, he's Big Bertolini. And he's with us, he'll be Little Bertolini. But I said, we'll still call him Big Bertolini. Because he is Big Bertolini.
Yeah, it doesn't matter who he's with. He's big.
He's big. Butcher's Wet Dream, stand up or sit down wipe? I told you. We haven't already answered it. You answered it on your Instagram.
Stand.
Yeah, we both stand. Should I do a pop?
I think that's a rarer one. Yeah, I think it's rarer. I think sitting is
mental. I'll do a poll on that. Geo Ashley has got to be someone that we know. I feel like he's got to be, right? Is it now compulsory to own a vape?
Oh, yeah.
Just rinsing Sanaya.
Yeah, rinsing Sanaya. Sanaya's not going to be happy with this. She's going to fucking take it down. She's going to plaster us up, recent been exposed, being horrible.
I will be the first to say it is definitely not compulsory. We don't have one.
So good for an appetite suppressant though, bro, for that prep. So good for an appetite suppressant. I'm going to start smoking actually.
It was on the radio today about it. It was literally like, no, it wasn't today, yesterday, but it was saying like the number of people using vapes has gone up drastically and it made me laugh. And I was thinking about
is it because of TikTok trends? Is it TikTok social? Because everyone nowadays has these vapes, but like why?
I don't know. They were saying on the radio, like experts on the radio were saying how they should
imagine a vape expert. Imagine being a vape expert.
It should only be used vape coaching. It should only be used to help with sort of actually stopping smoking.
Yeah.
But it's actually now used to look cool.
Okay. Yeah. Imagine that, mate. Like Rhys Pearson, vape expert.
Mr. Rhys Pearson, a vape expert. No, it didn't say that. It was just somebody. Archie Keogh he's asked me, he just put Josh C. Fit, biggest fan? ? You know Josh, my client. He's just put biggest fan. Are you asking if I'm his biggest fan? Of course I'm, mate. I'm all my clients' biggest fans. I'm my clients' biggest cheerleaders. That's what we should be as coaches, mate. Is that not what your business mentor told you?
No.
Oh, I should be your client's biggest cheerleaders. Even if they're doing everything wrong and they don't give a shit, I'm supposed to be their biggest cheerleader.
Well, it's just paid.
Yeah, they're not even paying me. They've cancelled the payment and they literally hate me. And they literally are doing everything wrong. I'm supposed to be like, mate, I'm your biggest cheerleader. Keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, you're doing awesome. Fuck it up. Fucking right. Have you got any more from last week? Is that it?
Yes, I have, mate. This is Abwen098. How bad are zero sauces on a cut?
As bad as you want to make them. Like,
so bad. So bad on a cut. They're all right on a bulk, but they're bad on a cut.
Yeah. No, I think the digestive stress they can place is massive. Like, a lot of people don't really stomach them that well, but because you're lean or leaner or food is lesser, you can get away with it in the short term. And I genuinely think, like, whenever you start incorporating things like this, your mindset switches from just food is energy and numbers to food isn't has to be so nice and everything has to taste amazingly. And when food gets low, like for a lifestyle client, I'd say go ahead, have some 10 cow jellies. In a prep, I'd say yeah, you can if you want. But I noticed, like Sanaya was showing me last year, all these remedies to volumize food and to do this. And if anything, it made me more focused around my food. And it's not where there's a direct link. I saw a study that said there isn't a direct link. And I agree. Like, I don't think there's a direct link to having a zero cal, let's say, and having something that's slightly sugary orientated, but it's not got any sugar. And then you thinking, oh, I want sugar. But when you are thinking, oh, how can I make this taste nicer? You're objectifying food for not what it actually is in the sense of a prep, which is literally just energy and macros. So then it becomes worse and it's a slippery slope. But I would say if you don't have any digestive issues and you like them, crack on. Like, it's not going to be the end of the world. I wouldn't recommend them, though. I wouldn't have it as a prep starter. Right, this is your jellies. These are your Pepsi Maxes. This is your Monster allowance. This is your 10 cal jelly amount. Not 10 cal, I've already said that. The zero cal sauce allowance. Like, I wouldn't say that. But they can be utilized if needed.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's more so from a sort of psychological aspect. Like, from a physiological side of things, like, unless you're going stupid, it's probably not going to cause that many issues digestion wise, but it's more so the psychological impact that it's going to have, where, like you say, it becomes a little bit obsessive and you're sort of trying to, you know, find a new one and having more of it and more of it because it's zero calorie or it's really low calorie, so it doesn't matter. And before you know it, like, you're literally just obsessed with it, and you can't sort of focus on anything but how are you going to volumize your food or which sauce you're going to use, or like, instead of just cracking on with the prep training and just focusing on the tasks that you need to get done.
Like, people buying like loads of perform ways and having like every day a different perform way.
Yeah. And I don't mind that as much because it's not like, oh, I can have more and more of it. It's all right.
No. Yeah.
But I know what you mean. Yeah. Fitness journal J, aside from each other, which coach?
Who do you love the most? Who do you love the most?
No, basically, which coach or coaches do you feel set a good example for other coaches?
You have to say the ones at the top, really.
Yeah, I'd say Callum's a simple one, isn't it? Even like, I would say as well, like the 3DMJ guys, like, and like Cliff Wilson and those kind of people. Even like the Renaissance periodization guys. Like, I think those
are kind of natural people. Bodybuilding, AJ.
Yeah, definitely.
I'd say, like, because that's like, he's almost like a pioneer in the sense of there's people that 3DMJ guys were way before AJ, but AJ's took it in Britain to
definitely
a very good level.
100%.
Yeah, for natural bodybuilding.
Like, Physique Collective guys, like Joe Jeffrey, obviously, without question, is very, very knowledgeable and does a very good job. So, yeah, there's loads. There's loads. I definitely wouldn't pick Reese. She's put aside from each other.
Exactly, yeah. So, yeah, set standards. I'm like, what? Standards? Bin?
What standards? In the bin. Yeah. Exactly. Speaking of that, Evan Baxter. So, do you remember Evan? He trained at Premier. He's my old client. You'd recognise him. He's put, who would get me? He used to say brah all the time. Brah. Is it bro? He used to. We used to like laugh about it. He's put, who would get me sweet boy bigger for next summer, brah? FK Physiques or R-Fit?
Well, I'll just get him on loads of gear, so that's what it would do.
No, I was going to say that. If you want to gear, mate, just go to Reese. Probably get an application after this comes out.
Yeah, sort of. So this is the
conversation. To Evan, I don't think he'd mind me saying this. Like, when I coached him, he was sound, we got on really well, but your training can drastically improve, mate. You know that your training can drastically improve. That's how you're going to get sweet boy bigger for next summer, brah.
And I also think as well, like, I know it's only like a tongue-in-cheek sort of comment, but like, if you were to have two versions of him, and he was to sign up with me and sign up with you or sign up with a different coach, if as long as everything is in line, so for example, if he went to a coach who's literally just going to pump him full of loads of drugs, okay, fair enough, you're going to grow. But no, if you're going to be in within the same sort of setting, training, nutrition, recovery, etc., if your adherence and application is the exact same, you're going to get to the year and probably look the exact same. Like, there might be a slightly different sense of, so let's say if you did a slightly different approach.
I would argue the relationship is more important than, like, the, let's say, the sort of minutiae, small details, basically. I think the relationship is more important. But also, I just think the commitment, like, Evan knows he could put more into his training. He didn't send me that many training videos. His training, he could have pushed himself harder, 100%. Like, so that comes down to you as an individual. Like, that doesn't come down to your coach. Like, you know, I used to say that to him numerous times. And, you know, we'll have loads of clients that's the same thing. You know, you're saying, right, look, you know, I want you to send more training videos. They'll send training videos, right, this is what I want you to work on. I want you to push yourself harder. I want you to work on this. I want you to work on that. And the clients that do that, shock, they're the clients who make the most progress. You know, it really is that simple. Like, you know, you're investing into a service. If you utilize that service to the sort of maximum, utilize that service to the maximum of your ability, like, you're going to get more out of it. So yeah, pick me, brah. Right. Questions from this week. Let's go.
Right. I've only got like six, I think. So Catherine E. Ford. So I said to her, actually, I sent her a voice note. So she's American, and so therefore she's 8 hours behind. And she asked this when the box got put up at like 7:30. So I messaged her and I was like, I sent her a voice note when I gave her some form feedback. And I was like, thanks for the question. Judging off the time, you need to get to bed. Sleep, please. I was like, it's too late. I said, however, it would actually be quite frustrating because she'd sleep through the time we do the questions to podcasts.
Yeah, so she's staying up.
Yeah, so she's staying up. No, she's asked. She's done actually really well, to be fair. Like, she's a real good client to coach. She trains really, really well. But she's asked, how to approach a new client wanting results too quickly, such unrealistic expectations? This was her. She was like wanting to grow. She wanted to prep in a month. And I was like, it's not happening, Catherine. Chill out. This wasn't her. But no, how would you approach? Because I feel like this is a level of like immaturity with some clients coming on board where they think they're just going to blow up. And you don't want to diminish their excitement and say, you're not. But you want to manage expectations.
It's just a case of, yeah, exactly that. Manage expectations and explain and just educate. Like, you know, you got to be realistic with people. You got to let them know their... Like I've rarely had this, to be fair. Like, I've not had somebody go like, oh, how much progress do you think I can make? But if they do say that, I'll say it's impossible to say, because it depends completely on, first of all, the effort and the commitment that you put in. And second of all, your sort of genetic ability. Yeah. Like, you know, I and you are the same. We've had clients who do pretty much blow up and you're like, fucking hell, like, this is crazy. You have clients who it appears that they're doing everything right and they just don't grow as quick. That doesn't mean they're doing anything wrong. That's just people's genetics. That's the cards that you dealt. It's part of life. Yeah, you know, it is what it is. It's a huge part of bodybuilding. So yeah, just educate people, let them know that. Let them know that also there is a pretty much a direct correlation between the effort that you put in and the results that you get for you, not compared to someone else, but for you as an individual. So the more effort that you put in, generally the more results you're gonna get. And that, you know, that can get misconstrued, where to the point where someone might be like, oh, that means more cardio, means more steps, it means more training, you know, more volume. No, like, you know, in terms of the amount of effort and commitment that you put in based on what you should be doing, like, there is a direct correlation. And, you know, you could, that is just basics. It's not rocket science. Yeah, the more effort that you put in, the more you get out. It's simple. Yeah, obviously that's going to be the case. So explaining that as well, I think, is important. But also, I say, just, you know, getting them to understand that everybody's different. Just focus on you and your own progress, not worrying about anyone else, how they're doing or what sebum looks like, and comparing yourself to sebum. Like, just focus on you and
hey, wait, what? Do the best you can. I put comparison photos up next to sebum, and then I have sebum as my lock screen.
Oh, do you?
Come on. Yeah.
Surprised you don't have Ryan Terry.
Yeah, no, because I'd look at him every day and be like, I'm better than you. So much better than Ryan Terry. Right, your one, mate.
So this is from Mackenzie. She says, hi guys, hope you're doing well. Loving the content as always. Thank you, Mackenzie. Do you find the further you go into the off season that you're more injury prone as you start to increase weight training?
If anything, it's probably the opposite. Like, you're going to be in a more compromised position when body fat levels are lower, general sort of kind of, let's say, water retention, like just sort of joints, you're going to have a little bit less of a pad around, whether that is, let's say, fluid or body fat. And you'll also have that ego, well, I have and most people have when you train for a lot of time, where when you get leaner and leverages change and you start to become less stable, instead of potentially changing something, like I feel like we're better now, but in previous years we probably just go, nah, I'm gonna grind through, I'm gonna carry on, and then that usually leads to potentially that injury risk heightening. But I would say that, like, in a gaining phase or a fat loss phase, whatever, it doesn't really make a difference. The injuries that you accumulate are mostly repetitive kind of chronic sorts of issues. If an acute injury occurs, I'm not going to say it's because you're being an idiot, but most of the time it actually probably is. And it's where, like, you've done something, you've gone a bit too heavy, you've done an exercise that you haven't done in ages, and you've put too much load on, you've gone into a passive range of motion that just isn't suitable to you as an individual, you've chosen exercise that doesn't suit, whatever it is, where the vast majority of injuries that, like, I'll accumulate, Finn will accumulate, will most likely be like repetitive overuse of doing the same sort of stuff over and over and over and over and over again, week on week on week. And it's a different sort of feel. In a gaining phase, your sessions are so demanding, but your recovery capabilities are really good. But, like, joints, tendons, etc., things like this can definitely take a bit of a beating, but it's on top of you to stay on top of that. So, yeah, I'm not going to say, like, when you get really fat, your injury risk heightens. If anything, it's the same, but, like, other variables can push you one way or the other. So, yeah.
Cool. Good answer.
Cheers, mate. Right. How do you relax yourself when stressed out?
Speak to Shannon.
Good answer, that, mate.
Focus on my breathing, maybe go on a walk. But yeah, speaking to people, I always say this to clients, like, communicate. And even with me, like, cause obviously a lot of people don't have someone to communicate with, which is, like, fine. Like, I'm more than happy for my clients to vent to me if they've got an issue or something like that. So yeah, I think communication is important. Like, we'll have things that might stress us out, and then we'll chat about it and we'll be like, oh, I feel a bit better, or will yeah. Not necessarily, you don't even need to come up with a solution. There's not always a solution. More often than not, there probably isn't a solution. So in that case, don't stress. If there's no solution, you can't change it, don't stress. So yeah, communicate about it, focus on your breathing, you know, go on a walk, get some fresh air. And again, just sort of assess, can you change it? Yes, cool, change it. Can you not? No, cool, you can't change it, don't stress.
Sound?
What about you?
Hey, getting good at these questions, to be fair. Getting good. Like, these answers, mate, top tier.
Yes, mate.
Fucking wicked episode, this. I agree. I think the talking part's rare, mate, especially for a male. I don't think there's many people that can talk. Like, I'm the same. I always talk, but I'll talk to you, talk to my mum, talk to Sanaya, and, like, I'll have that kind of feedback. And I think it's a big part of, like, actually getting over things. Unfortunately, people bottle stuff up and they don't talk about it. And they let it out, or they then internalize it and it becomes worse. When in reality, the vast majority of times, talk about it, get off your phone, is one thing I try and say. Like, get away and go for a walk, leave your phone at home, whatever it is, or listen to some music, chill out, do things that you're going to enjoy for yourself. And sometimes, like, you might be stressed regardless of what you do. Like, you might just need to go to bed, you know, and to think, you know what, it's not my day. Tomorrow I'm going to be a better day. And that's sometimes what I've had, like, not many times, but, like, I'll be like, tomorrow I'll be better. Today's been a bit of a shitter, is what it is.
Yeah, they happen.
Yeah, exactly.
This is from your client, mate, Aisha.
Aisha, yeah. Aisha asked the last one. 2-2.
Will having frequent sex limit my gains, she says.
Well, Aisha.
She's not asking you. Why don't she ask you that in a check-in?
Yeah,
Harry, is that... asking you.
Yeah, don't feel comfortable. I still I'd ask Finn on the podcast to ask Reese. That people listen to. So much more comfortable that.
And we said who it is as well. Sorry, Aisha. Yeah. I shouldn't have said that. But
yeah. So to limit gains, like,
well, actually, I don't know how... why shouldn't you say it? Like,
yeah,
it's not an issue, is it? Like, no, no. It won't limit your gains. Go for it. All right.
No.
Get on it.
As long as recovery, like, as long as you're not getting impacted and, like, you've got no, like, fatigue or DOMS, you'll be fine. Crack on.
Yeah.
More the merrier. If anything, moving around during a fat loss phase, Aisha, you'll be sound. Crack on. Right. If anything, endurance is going to be it. So steady state, heart rate, 120, 140 beats per minute, extended period of time, you know, make sure it's like a good 20, 30 minutes. Like, try and keep that going. Yeah, exactly. And if it turns into like an intermittent sort of session of cardio, sometimes a bit faster, sometimes a bit slower, is what it is, you know, like in different vectors of CV, you'll be fine. What's that? Good. Fantastic question. Right, mate, Will Razzo, your client, who would win in a fight? Guy Cristinina?
Yeah, Cisterino.
Cisterino or Mike Roach? I don't know who the second guy is. Mike Roach. I do know who it is. Mike Roach. I know it. Yeah, Mike Roach.
So he missed. He asked me.
The second I said it, you would see my face and I went,
yeah. So he asked me earlier and I read it and straight away in my head, I heard Mike Roach. So I messaged him saying, ask Reese. And he's got you.
No, mate. I hadn't said it out loud or even read it. I'd literally just read it. I didn't even see the second guy.
He's got you. Well done, Will. Congrats to Will. Round of applause for Will. He's got you.
Will, I'm unfollowing you right now, you prick. Right this second. I'm fucking unfollowing you, dog.
He literally asked me, he put three boxes in mine. Yeah? He put, hi, guys, who'd win in a pose off? And then he's put, I meant pose off. Who has the better posing? That's a separate box. And then another box, he's put, who'd win in a fight? Guy Cisterino or Mike Roach? Yeah. Well done, Will. You got him.
Yeah. Fuck.
I don't have any more questions, mate. Oh. I seem to get all my questions last week.
Well, what's that? Did you not ask about the posing?
What? Mike Roach? Mate.
No. You said who would win in posing? Oh, out of that. So is that the who would win in posing between them? No, mate, I thought you meant between me and
like
you.
Like mushroom all over again.
No, it's not. Because the way you worded it, you didn't even say that. I thought you were talking about, like,
who he asked three questions, or he did three boxes, but they were all for the same one.
So. I thought he was like, oh, he's asked three questions, yeah. You fucking idiot. Right, Jack Eagles. Favourite drug, Mr. Steroid Goblin? For Finn, what's his favourite creatine? Mono or I do love Jack. Jack's a good lad.
Yeah, I like Jack. My favourite creatine, mate, it's just creatine monohydrate, 5 grams a day. It's cheap, you know, and there's no real difference between that and Crea Pure. So, yeah, make sure you get your creatine monohydrate.
You want to try Crea Gains or Crea Greens, that's what it is.
Is it?
From, Naughty Boy.
What, it's a green powder as well? Yeah.
Green powder and creatine that, in a sense, I think it also is like, has an intra workout, like it's an intra, like it's got some aminos in.
Must be, I bet it's incredible.
And the flavour is like tropical.
Oh, mate, it's greens powder. Greens powder tastes shit, no matter what.
No, it's not though. Apparently, Sanaa's like, it tastes really good. Like it's like tropical mango. No, but hear this. Then she's like, yeah, I keep having it in my intro and it's just like causing me to be feel real like bloated. I'm like, no surprise.
You're having a green powder intro.
Yeah, green powder intro, regardless of what it's like and if it tastes good. A green powder is not something I'd want to be having during my session. So, yeah. To answer Jack, just love trend, so much trend, you know, just constantly like 19 nor the psychological impact. I don't know. I love it. I actually got in a conversation with a guy on the weekend when I was at the FitTech show, and he was literally like, I love the feeling of being on trend. I just love it. And I was like, these are the conversations I really don't want to be in. So I was just like, yeah, it sounds great, mate. Sounds great. In the back of my mind, I'm like, what the fuck? It's like, it's stupid. I'd probably say, we could say normal test or something like Primo, something that's non-invasive. You can't really tell, not too aggressive. To be fair, Jack, my compound history is about like probably about five things I've used. I don't really know, and I don't like the fact of trying to say, "I experiment with this, I try that," because it just gets into a slippery slope where we've heard people say you can only feel trend. Like,
yeah, and I think the whole sort of all like even like I said to you yesterday, like the whole experimentation thing, like you say, it easily becomes I'll just add more in, I'll just try something else, and before you know it. You're taking loads of shit that you don't need to be doing just because you want
to. But also, if you actually look at the molecules, how they work in action, how they work in synergy with each other, it's relatively simple. You take something and it pumps up, let's say, protein excretion, or it pumps up your total androgen load. Yes, there's some potential psychological or physical kind of differences and variances, but for the vast majority, you're not going to be like, oh, yeah, I can tell that nandrolone's in. You're not going to be able to tell. Like,
psychological impact in it.
Yeah, exactly. And they say nandrolone's a 19 nor, so you could argue there is going to be some change mentally, but it's one of those kind of things. Like, again, I know he's only joking, but yeah, something that's probably non-invasive. Metformin, bro. That's what I'll go with. Metformin. Yeah. Finn Kelly coach, why are you still fat? Cheers, mate.
Oh, I forgot to ask you that.
Yeah. You were just like, who the fuck's this guy? Big Gully Coach. Then we've got two questions to finish on, which is good. Bev's book. What are indicators that you're beyond your MRV? Minimum or MRV, minimum, maximum.
Maximum recoverable volume. You're not progressing. Yeah, you're not progressing. You're seeing numbers hold or go backwards, especially in a gaining phase. You're a lot more sore than you have been previously, or you're too sore to train that body part again when you next have it planned in. That would be another one. Even things like sleep taking a hit, digestion taking a hit is quite a big one. Often when clients will say to me that, oh, my digestion's been a bit weird this week, like, especially if food's been the same, if they've not changed anything, like, often that's the first sign of fatigue creeping in. Those few things. Generally, like, if we're looking at just in terms of training volume itself and not overall fatigue, then generally numbers or performance in the gym and soreness.
No, good one. And then to finish, Jay Murphy Fitness, road to the stage for Jack. He wants to compete 2024. He said so. It's his last year as a junior, which, to be fair, he's done very well so far. And I get on very well with Jack. Had a chat to him about competing in his checking today. Domino's, Papa John's, Pizza Express, Pizza Hut, all the pizza places, rank them for best pizza. So,
not going to agree here, are we?
No, we're not. Fucking not.
You do yours first and then I'll absolutely tell you why it's wrong.
Pizza Express is not good for a pizza. Like,
what,
it's nice.
What have we got? Are there only four?
No, he didn't even say Pizza Hut, so I added Pizza Hut.
Oh really? He didn't say pizza. Yeah. That's why, because it's so shit.
Fuck off. The cheese bites are good if you don't have
cheese bites are good, but that's not pizza.
Yeah, but it's, yeah, I'm getting, okay, so Pizza Hut. I've never had a Papa John's. So I've only ever had Domino's and Pizza.
Not the bottom.
I'd have Pizza Hut above Domino's. So Pizza Hut, Domino's. Otherwise, I've had a Pizza Express, but I wouldn't be like, oh yeah, I think it's just a fancier pizza. It's a fancier restaurant. I'll do another poll,
Pizza Hut or Domino's.
Yeah, sit down pizza.
What was the other poll I was going to do?
Stand or sit.
Oh yeah.
After your pizza, what do? You stand or sit?
Yeah.
When your digestion's ruined. Yeah. What, yours would be Domino's number one, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I'd say Domino's. I quite like Pizza Express, but that's probably just because it's like you can actually go in for a meal.
Yeah.
In terms of the actual pizza itself, I probably wouldn't say it's great, but I'm going to put Pizza Express second.
Have you had a Bella Italia pizza?
I think I have, and I think it's quite a long one.
Really good. They were really good. That's probably
easy. Like places like that, they actually do pretty good pizza.
Oh yeah, they're banging.
The oven in Bath. If you live near Bath, the oven in Bath. That's number one. But like generic ones, Domino's, Pizza Express. I've had Papa John's once, and it was meh. So I'll say Pizza Hut above Papa John's, because I have had Pizza Hut more, and then Papa John's.
I went to a place in Leeds when I was last there, like start of the year. Pizza Punks. I told you about it. Quite a cool setup. It was like you could get like a burrito pizza that has like Mexican pizza. It's proper cool. Like different sort of setup. It wasn't your standard American. You got your margarita. You got your like your barbecue, whatever. Like it was actually a little bit different, and that was good. But yeah, I think Domino's is like Domino's and Papa John's are like the two kings when it comes to takeaways. Like, I'd say Domino's is number one.
Yeah. Right, we've got to wrap it up because we're going to get
kicked. Cool. Right, that's that. Thanks as always, guys. Any story tags? We've got some spread engagement this week. Fantastic. Yeah, carry that on. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Spread up the stories. That's fantastic. Otherwise, hopefully everyone's done well, and we'll catch you guys in the next episode.
Bye.